WJCT in Jacksonville, you're listening to a podcast of the week's news on the First Coast. Hi, I'm Michelle Corum, and today on Redux. It's August 25th on this week's Redux podcast. The issue of the Confederate monument spills over into this week, should it go to a vote. The council president says, let's take stock of what we have first.
We need to understand what's there, why it's there, who put it there, under what context.
Over in Fernandina Beach, there's a post office that's looking really good for its age.
It is a place that when you put it in the context of this downtown, it's one of the big landmarks that people will remember.
And what does it mean to transform a place?
You create a cluster of activity that can pull back some of the special attributes of the space that's been lost over the years.
These stories just ahead on Redux. A group called Save Southern Heritage is asking Jacksonville City Council members to put the question of whether to remove Confederate monuments up for a public vote. As Ryan Bank reports, the group says city residents overwhelmingly oppose moving the monuments to museums, according to a poll it commissioned.
Tempers ran high at downtown Jacksonville's Hemming Park as the group called for a referendum on Confederate monuments. A black man walking through the park yelled obscenities at the dozen or so gathered for the announcement, one dressed as a Confederate soldier holding a Florida state flag. City Council President Ana Lopez Brochet last week called for an inventory of Confederate monuments and wants to eventually move them off public property. But Save Southern Heritage leader Sieber Newsom says that's tantamount to destroying history, and three-quarters of residents oppose their removal, according to a public opinion poll.
This survey confirms our steadfast belief that Ms. Brochet is way off the political spectrum by associating herself with radical groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter extremists.
Activists calling themselves Take 'Em Down Jacks have been demanding their removal, saying the statues were erected to intimidate African Americans. Newsom says that wasn't the purpose of Hemming Park statue of a nameless Confederate soldier.
I'm here to discuss this monument right here, that one. It was put there in 1898 by Charles Hemming, a Confederate soldier.
Newsom is also campaigning for city council to protect the monuments from any future removal attempts. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
So you heard there in Ryan's story that Ana Lopez Brochet is calling for an inventory of what statues are on public property in Jacksonville. She came by the First Coast Connect studio a few days later to explain why an inventory will be done by the Parks Department and Historic Presentations section of their planning department.
We need to understand what's there, why it's there, who put it there, under what context, to determine what next steps are. So this is just very early in the process.
Lots of feedback about your move. Supporters say it's about time someone took this bold stance. Opponents are saying you've touched the third rail of Southern politics and you've ruined your political career. Mm-hmm. Are you worried about that?
No, this isn't about political moves for me. This is about what I believe is a conversation that the community needs to have. And we're going to get to the right answer.
Let's get right to the calls now.
I'm an African American, and this is what I say. Put all the statues in a museum, and everybody that's so in love with the Confederacy, they can pay to go to the museum and memorialize. They can do whatever they want in the museum. But there is no reason to continuously keep a spirit of oppression or any type of symbol of oppression in the city.
I just wanted to say that it's a little bit, I don't know, disheartening to me because we can utilize these monuments as teaching items throughout the city, you know, and instead of just erasing them and acting like things didn't happen, you know, this happened. This was history. I mean, what would it to be if I held a a mock slave auction on St. George Street. You know, I would get booed and everything, but it's not the fact that it's a racist thing. It's showing the history behind it so we can grow from it and we don't repeat history.
That was August 24th on First Coast Connect, hosted by Melissa Ross. You can hear the entire show by downloading the WJCT app to listen to anytime. When it comes to history, Fernandina Beach has a post office that's being honored by the state of Florida for recent renovations. Lindsay Kilbride tells us the more than century-old building got $1 million worth of work done over the course of a year.
The post office is on Fernandina Center Street.
Center Street is our main street. It's our main artery of our commercial district in the downtown.
Jeff Kurtz is standing in front of the post office, a grand building with ornate terracotta details and big arches over its front doors. It's also served as a customs office and federal courthouse over its 100 years. Kurtz nominated it for a state award.
It's not one of those buildings that people will go in and buy a t-shirt in to add to the economic vitality, but it is a place that when you put it in the context of this downtown, it's one of the big landmarks that people will remember.
And Florida Democratic Senator Bill Nelson agrees. Earlier this summer, he lamented the House's unwillingness to fund its restoration.
Finally, we kicked the post office department in the shins enough that they went in there and they have done a beautiful rehab job.
Now it's moisture sealed and close to its original look from a century ago, leading the Florida State Department this month to award the project what's called a Main Street Award for rehabilitation. And Nelson sees a different future for it. He wants the post office to give or sell the building to the city.
And they can use it as their city hall, and the old federal courtroom. That's a perfect place for the meeting for the city council.
But the U.S. Post Office says it is not planning to sell the building at this time. Lindsay Kilbride, WJCT News.
Sometimes we hear city planners talking about placemaking. They mean transforming a space to promote public health, happiness, and well-being. In this week's Business Brief, Modern Cities co-founder Annis Davis tells WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo about three placemaking projects in Mayor Curry's proposed budget. So here they are.
Soutel Drive, which right now is a four-lane highway on the northwest side of Jacksonville. He wants to do what we planners refer to as a road diet, which is to take that from four lanes into a two-lane roadway with bike lanes and areas for pedestrians to actually congregate. So what happens is instead of that roadway being a dangerous spot, it becomes more of a connection within the neighborhood that makes it easier for residents to actually cross the street and to access businesses along that corridor.
Let's go from Northwest Jacks down to Brooklyn. What's happening there?
The mayor's proposed budget has $1.35 million dedicated to pipe removal and the design of a greenway along McCoy's Creek. It actually runs under the Times Union building. The concept here is to dust off what was developed in 1930, which is a greenway from the downtown waterfront through neighborhoods such as Brooklyn and into this linear public space to where you can kayak within the creek, or you can jog or ride a bike adjacent to the creek.
Finally, Mayport.
This one is actually probably my favorite. Spending $900,000 for shrimping docks along the Mayport waterfront.
Okay.
Think about the history of Mayport. It's a fishing village, home to fisheries, restaurants, a working class waterfront that over time has declined as facilities have been abandoned, decayed, and demolished. So if you create this space where several fishing vessels can actually park and be serviced with ice, move their products, you create a cluster of activity that can pull back some of the special attributes of the space that has been lost over the years.
That's Ennis Davis, co-founder of Modern Cities at moderncities.com. I'm WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo.
Ooh, foxy lady.
WJCT Music Director David Luckin offers listeners music of the way we were on Route 66 Monday nights. And David, what vinyl surprise have you lined up for us?
Well, we're going back 50 years again. Another great album. Everyone thinks it was just Sgt. Pepper was the greatest album of 67. Well, another great album came out called The Jimi Hendrix Experience. And you'll know all these songs. Purple Haze, Hey Joe, The Wind Cries Mary, Foxy Lady, Are You Experienced? All these great songs on one album. And here's the best part, Michelle. It is 180-gram audiophile LP pressing, all analog mastering from the original 24-track tapes.
I am impressed.
So this is going to sound so good. I haven't even dropped a needle on it yet. We won't drop it till we produce the show. So Monday night on the stream, on the app, on the air, Route 66, all the music that reminds us of the way we were and who we were and what we wore and where we lived and what we drove. It's just a show of memories. We play lots of great music that reminds people of past days. Right. And, of course, Modern Music for Modern Living Electro Lounge, Tuesday through Saturday. Join us there. And don't forget, we're on the app, we're on the stream, we're on the air, and we want you to join us.
All right. Thanks, David.
You got to be all mine, all mine. Foxy lady.
Heads up, soccer fans. The U.S., Mexico, and Canada have joined together to make a bid for the 2026 Soccer World Cup. Jacksonville's one of 34 U.S. cities under consideration as a host site. WJCT sports analyst Cole Pepper says Jacksonville has a lot going for it, having already hosted two World Cup events.
There's a lot of history here with the United States playing in Jacksonville and being well received with large crowds. They also like the fact that they can have a number of different places to practice with JU and UNF and others making their fields available. So the infrastructure is good here. The way that Jacksonville has handled it, the way fans have reacted in Jacksonville, the stadium.
Three other Florida cities, Orlando, Tampa, Miami, they're also on the list of possible U.S. host cities. Morocco is also bidding on the 2026 World Cup. A decision is expected next June. And so you've been listening to Redux. You can find all of our audio and web stories at WJCTnews.org. You can also stream this podcast, not to mention the rest of our on-air content, on the WJCT app. It's available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. I'm Michelle Corum. I'll be back next week with another Redux.